Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger joining us here in the studio on the ballot. How's it been going, the campaign?
It's been great. There's been a lot of forums, a lot of surveys.
Only a few forums.
An unforum. That's been released now, too.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That's the Chamber of Commerce did that with, a couple? There were a couple of organizations, but it's on the Chamber's website.
The Sierra Club was on there, and the Coalition for Affordable Housing was on there. It was a unique way, and actually, the Chamber's holding an event next week that looks at how elections are changing as far as using technology. Mm-hmm. So things like the Unforum, which they released and had over 300 viewings already and can track to see if people are opening up the candidate one. So they're going to have some real data to look at this out there. So it's kind of cool. It was a learning experience for me. I need to look up a little more. You had 90 seconds to respond to each question, and you could do this yourself, so you had time to put it together.
Okay.
But I was reading it on my screen to
make sure
I got my points.
Reading. Yeah, you
got
to have someone write it down on cue cards and hold it up behind the camera.
Looking up top of my eyelids, so it's great. And at home, then one of my kids screamed out while I was doing it, "Mom!" And so I had to stop and start recording again. But we'll figure this out. But I do think it's a better way to connect to more people who can't physically come to a forum. With the lack of, our sort of fractured press here, it's harder to find out information. But it does, the digital divide is real, so it's not going to get to everyone.
Yep.
But I do think it has merit. Anyway, so the Chamber is holding an event next week on Thursday morning to talk about all this and where we're going with elections, because I do think social media is going to play a bigger and bigger role with all this. And as a candidate,
for better or worse,
you have to cover all the bases. And so it becomes difficult for people running for office to know which media. I mean, there's proof out there that yard signs or those signs we put outside make no difference in the way someone's going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have them, people notice. So it's that's kind of interesting.
Yes,
so we spend all this energy, and yard signs cost a lot of money, and we've had some reports of people stealing them, taking them down. They cost a lot of money, take a lot of effort, and then we have to clean them all up and try to recycle whatever you can recycle out of it.
Or hang on to them for another 2 or 4
years. Recycle, and we put out the guidelines today for everybody to know how to do that. And then we do this wonderful thing in our community where I'm helping coordinate this year. We sign routes and have candidates pick up all the signs in a route starting the day after the election and take them all to Cedar Falls Park or Carborough Town Hall, and you sort them into piles by each candidate. Then each candidate is responsible for taking care of their own signs.
Oh, I like that.
It's really, really cool. Because
as opposed to just doing it on an ad hoc basis where everyone just
finds their own signs. So let's say you're in charge of Ephesus Fordham area, then you go around picking everybody's signs up, and this saves 9 cars from going to each site.
Oh, that's great. That's also good, too, because if you're in charge of that area, because one of the things that I've noticed in previous elections is the candidates do an okay job of picking up the signs, but if you're driving by and you notice that one sign is blown over, for instance, you might not notice that if you're driving around just picking up your own signs. And if you're picking up someone else's and you notice that one, you might just leave it there. And then it never gets picked up, so that's cool. Yeah.
It just makes it's a sweep program. You pick them all up, take them, and then, like I said, you divide them into piles, and people can come back in. It's worked really well. We've done it for the last several years. I offered to help coordinate this because it's sort of a spreadsheety thing, and I like that. I'm good with the spreadsheets.
There you go.
Sending all that information out, and candidates who haven't campaigned before are relieved too, because that's one of the hardest parts. You've gone through this long campaign season, and it comes to a screeching halt, and then you've got 10 days to pick up the signs, and we've noticed that citizens get really annoyed when signs are left up because they're tired of seeing them, which I get. But I've had signs returned to me a year later, 2 years later, that people found somewhere. They end up in all kinds of interesting places. Turns out somebody sold some signs to somebody in Durham and they reused them for something else.
I have seen signs. I have seen signs where they were clearly used for something else in the past, and it's just sort of like taped over. Yeah.
Well, they cost you about $2 to $3 a piece. So, that adds up when you're putting out several hundred.
Well, it's kind of the signal, right? That you've got a viable campaign, that you've got enough donations that you're able to go out and buy all of the yard signs. So, it's really interesting how campaigning works, because those yard signs tell you nothing.
They
it's
don't.
Like this name, this office, and like a blue or a red background, and that's about it. Maybe like a star and a stripe off to the side.
Well, it costs more the more colors you have.
Yes, yes.
It costs whether you get the waterproofed ones or not. I mean, we used to have to get two, they came separate, and you had to staple them together and then force them over the frame or staple them to the wood stakes. At least they're nicer now. They come already. You just slide them over. But it takes a lot of energy.
Really weird prerequisites for holding public office.
And you
right?
have to learn all this. And when you do it the first time, if you don't get your signs early and get them all coordinated early, you're out there trying to do it yourself. And it's just, there's a lot that goes on.
All right. speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger. So let's turn to stuff going on right now. Project Connect went on earlier today.
Yeah, just wonderful. I was over there late this morning, and they'd had 110 people so far.
Nice.
I walked right into the Duke Vision screening eyeglass. What a wonderful service, and thank you for Duke coming over. It's all a collaboration. We all work together, and people were able to get a screening. They were able to get a diabetic eye test. They were able to get the eye chart. They were able to get reading glasses. They needed them right there. They had all. It's a group called Respectable. I'm gonna get there. Recycling.
I think I prefer Respectable. Right. That's an even better pun.
So that was really wonderful. Yeah. And then they're offering all kinds of services. And lunch and clothing and connecting people just with things they need. And so it's a really wonderful and lots of volunteers, lots of energy, really well coordinated. So hats off to the whole group that coordinates all of
that's
this.
Really cool. Yeah. And then sort of down the road on Rosemary Street.
You're going to talk about the pothole.
A little
or
bit of a pot sinkhole. yeah.
We love those, right?
Yeah, right. So you were downtown earlier today. What's the situation
so
now?
So we've had to block off Rosemary Street. It's an Owasa water line that something happened to it and it caused a sinkhole on the road. So first you have to figure out, and they had to turn the water off, and for residents down there at 140 West, that's been hard, and blocking the streets been hard for people trying to get past that intersection. But there are ways around it. It's only blocked off from Columbia to Church Street, so it's not even that far there, so that you can get around all that. It's just causing some confusion. But once you fix the line, then you got to fill it in, and you got to redo the road. So it takes a little bit of energy. And luckily, it is fall break, so there's a little less activity going on right now, a little less. But we hope to have that all our part done as soon as Wawasa finishes their part.
That's also not that far away from the ACA Hotel, right?
Correct. So we've already also had construction. I haven't heard exactly what caused it all yet, but we just know that it happened last night during our council meeting, so that was fun, or right before. So, anyway.
All right. So, council meeting last night, public hearings, right?
It was public hearings. The Cedars was doing their addition to their facilitated care project. We had our Enterprise Zone first project come up, Carolina Flex Park. It was the first public hearing for both of these. There'll be a second one. For St. Paul's Village, they needed an extension on their start date, and that we were able to pass that without a second public hearing last night because it came in different. And then we have a business meeting next week where the Wegmans Project will be coming back, and they are holding an information meeting for the community on Tuesday at 5:15 before the Wednesday council meeting. So that's also at Town Hall. So that's going on next week. We have two different sorority house projects next week on the agenda. And then the Cedars addition will come back next week since there were no comments this time for that. So that's going on.
What's the issue with Wegmans next week?
It's the second public hearing.
Okay.
So
just on the proposal?
Yeah, so it's been through all the boards and commissions, and now it's the second public hearing for the Wegmans project.
Where is that in the overall span of the approval process?
So if it gets approved, then it moves forward. So this public hearing is...
This is it,
yes,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's there were several questions asked last time, mostly about traffic flow. I know that things have been worked on. I haven't seen the data come back yet. The notebooks come out tomorrow, so we'll be ready with that.
All right.
So that's on there. A fun thing that get to go do last week on Friday, the tiny house project.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Northside, right?
It's Northside over on Craig and Sykes Street. And these are 200-300-square-foot homes. It's a joint collaboration. It's really, really wonderful. The Jackson Center, Habitat, Self-Help Credit Union. And they're meant to help with people who are coming through our shelter program have somewhere to stay and live in the community as they graduate out of the shelter. And it's, so it's a low rent based on their ability. And it's meant for one, maybe two people per unit. They'd have to be a couple because it's a very small space. But I was saying it's tall enough so there's a lot of light coming in. So it's really cool. One big room that's both the bedroom and the living and the kitchen, and then a nice-sized bathroom for ADA compliance and a porch. And so,
very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And we're looking at ways to increase this kind of model. There are some state code building guidelines we are trying to work with, and I'm meeting with a group the week after the election to see what kind of things we need to do to make sure we're not blocking anything like this, because it's really a great way to increase affordable housing. If you can put a tiny house on the back of a larger lot, if you can put two together on a lot, then you get different people involved in different ways. So yeah,
that's really, really cool. I mean, and we've been talking about tiny houses for a long time, and this project here is for a specific purpose, but it's also just sort of the idea of tiny houses is really great for infill, right? Like
it is
adding more housing.
What
without
I love
the
too is we had a lot of seniors come by who said, I want to stay in my neighborhood. I don't need all the house I have. This would be perfect for what I, my needs, and I get to stay in the neighborhood. So I think there's lots of different opportunities for tiny houses. I've asked to be educated about what the difference is between a mobile home and a tiny house and what the implications are, and learning that when you attach a house to the ground is when the state building codes come into effect, and that's what we're trying to figure all that out. And when something's on wheels or called a mobile home or a pre-manufactured home, they don't really mobile after a certain period of time. They tend to break if you tend to move them. And then we met with OWASA to talk about affordable housing and hookups, and tiny homes is on our list too, to think, is there a different way to do that, because the tap-on fee is pretty substantial.
So what is the restriction that state law places on tiny homes?
So from my understanding, if you attach a home to the ground, you have to have a minimum of a 500 square foot pad. Now, I haven't verified all this yet, so like I said, I'm waiting to be educated. I need the group that does. There's a group that does it's called Peewee Homes.
Peewee Homes, yeah.
They manufacture. They know from their standpoint, they know what the codes are. So we need to find out what we can do, either working with that or around that or through that to get. So you might not want a tiny home. So this duplex was two 300 square foot homes, so that worked out well.
Right.
600. But you don't need a 500 foot pad for a 300 square foot tiny home if you're just doing one.
But duplexes could work, right?
Duplexes could work, or the pad could be part of your patio or something. So there's just different code requirements. And one of the cost effects are things like tap-on fees and utilities. So we're looking at all those kinds of things to see how we can make it more affordable. That's pretty cool.
Awesome. What else is going on?
Well, Town Treasurer's celebration was on Sunday afternoon, and that was just, that's always one of the highlights for me.
Tell us what.
So tiny, tiny houses to Town Treasurer. Sorry, folks. These are people in our community who've had the sense of community is like a top priority for them. They've given back throughout the years. They're nominated by the community, and it's a program sponsored by the Preservation Chapel Hill. And it's just, it's wonderful to hear the stories of the people that are honored. And then this has been the 10th year, so we've had many, many people honored and many more. So if you have someone to nominate, please do. Because it's just a wonderful celebration of people who have totally dedicated to giving back. And I got the honor of handing out the certificates and reading the stories and giving the hugs.
Nice.
I like the hugs. We had Joseph Farrington, Ted Parrish, we had Jane and Adam Stein, we had Dr. Tim Taft, and we had Judge Stanley Peel. So that was fun, from Chapel Hill, and there were a couple more from Carver and Orange County as well. And so we come together and celebrate their community service.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
cool.
That's fun. Yeah, it was cool. What else is going on? We did the Project Connect. We had some forums last week. We met with the NAACP of UNC chapter. We did Carol Woods Forum this week. We met with the Chamber Young Professionals.
Yes.
And for me, it's just, and we're having one next week with the UNC Democratic students. To get a chance to hear what people are thinking, to understand the kinds of things that are on their mind, and to help clarify anything that we know, but mostly get a chance to see how they are interpreting things that are going on.
That's
in our community.
Such a really good point, because you think about a candidate forum as being an opportunity for residents to hear from the candidates. You never really think of it as being the other way around, but yeah, like go and meet with the NAACP on campus, or just sort of students in general, or Carol Woods. What are the questions that come? Yeah.
And I find it fascinating because each group is a different perspective.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I write the questions down so that I can think about, okay, you know, you have to answer in 90 seconds. And luckily for me, the last few forums, they haven't asked me to be a part, just to stand up and say who I am, but I get to listen a little more intently. And when you hear the same kinds of questions, you realize either one, we haven't been telling our story very well or haven't explained it, or two, these are really, really burning issues for a community, or three, it gives you brand new perspective and ideas to think about things to do. So they're good.
What's coming up?
Yeah. The American Legion Task Force continues to meet. We have a meeting on Monday from 2 p.m. at the library. And then we have our meeting next Wednesday, and then the Bowling Creek Watershed Cleanup, the big sweep, is this Saturday from 9 to noon. So it'll be...
Are they looking for volunteers for that?
Yeah, they are. They're meeting... I had that down. They're meeting at South Estes for the big sweep of doing Bowling Creek.
Okay.
And so this involves...
Is that like community center on South? Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
So going out and cleaning up the watershed, you know, all the stuff, people don't think about this. They think, oh, we don't have any industry in Chapel Hill. All the stuff that washes out from rains and storms on the streets goes into the storm gutters, which just doesn't get cleaned. Things that go in the storm gutters don't get cleaned through, and they end up in the creeks.
Yep.
So cleaning out the storm gutters of debris helps, but also cleaning it out of the creeks once it gets there. And you wouldn't believe the amount of stuff you find. I mean, random stuff washes down people's driveways and streets and outs. And as clean as we try to be, there's stuff that gets washed in there.
I always talk to Frandy Giano, who does Clean Jordan Lake. And mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, very little actually, I mean, probably quite a bit gets dumped at Jordan Lake, but a lot of it just washes down the streams.
City, like city
they
of
find tires and Greensboro stuff. And it's incredible.
Covers.
Yeah.
So we are pulling the Jordan Lake, we call it JLOA, Jordan Lake One Water Association. We're pulling them together. We're meeting again in November. But it is interesting to hear this big sweep is across statewide. People pick different waterways to go out and clean up. And it does help. It pulls things like tires and things that people toss they just don't think about toss into the creeks. So,
All right, awesome. Townofchapelhill.org for more info. Yeah. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger.
Hey, enjoy the nice weather. A little bit of coolness, finally. We like that. We like that. So
awesome.
It's really good. All
Thank
right,
you so much.
All right, thanks. Bye.